After the war, the CIA supported him in making contracts with the Vatican. For instance, he won over Drive Luigi Giuda, the medical advisor of Pope Pius VII and leader of Catholic activities. With Giuda's help, he succeeded in strengthening for the future the connection with Pope Paul VI, who had already collaborated with the OSS, Office of Strategic Services. Rettinger also met with Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, the Italian Prime Minister, Sir Colin Grubin, director of the SO, Special Operations Executive, British Secret Service, and CIA Director General Walter Bedell. Before the war, Prince Bernhard was with the SS and then held a position at IG Farben. He married Juliana, who in 1948 became Queen of the Netherlands, and he took up a post with Shell Oil. This group was the corps that met at the Hotel de Bilderberg in Oosterbeek, Holland for the first time in May 1954 and later became known as the Bilderbergers. Committee of 300 member Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands became the first director of the Bilderbergers. Explanation later. One of the CIA members with a strong influence in the Vatican was Cardinal Spellman. He helped the CIA with the overthrow of democracy in Guatemala in 1954. It was also Spellman who introduced Father Paul Marcinkus from Chicago to the Pope. In 1971, Marcinkus became Archbishop and head of the Vatican Bank. Marcinkus developed close links with Masonic P2 Lodge members Michel Sindona and Roberto Calvi. The Grand Master of the P2 was Licio Gelli. Calvi, who headed the Banco Ambrosiana, helped the Vatican to transfer more than $100 million to the Polish Solidarnos movement. Later he was involved in the huge Banco Ambrosiana scandal. In 1982 his body was found hanging from the London Blackfriars Bridge. He had bricks in his left and right pockets and his legs were tied at a right angle. This a Masonic ritual murder. This peculiarity was never written about in the newspapers. Sindona became advisor to the Vatican Bank. The P2 Lodge had many links with the Vatican, Opus Dei and the CIA. Many of its members held high offices in the Italian government. In January 1966, Look magazine published the article "How Jews Changed the Thinking of the Catholic Church." The Vatican probably is the richest organization in the world. A large portion of its fortune is held by the Rothschild banks. There is no doubt that the Vatican overfarben and sold gas to the Nazis. At the end of the war, for fear of being killed for collaboration, he fled to Poland, looking for the protection of the Catholic Church. There he made a development similar to that of Eisenhower, just a bit slower, and subsequently was elected Pope. 126. He immediately thanked his friends on November 27, 1983 by lifting the excommunication order that had been pronounced over Freemasons worldwide in the Codex Iuris Canonici. That today's Pope knows the Masonic secret language is obviously proven by the Masonic handshake and also in a speech he gave during a general audience on September 5, 1982. On the occasion of the death of the Lebanese president Gemayel, he spoke of Jerusalem, the city of God, and said, "Jerusalem can also become the city of man." The city of man is a key word of the Illuminati for world dictatorship. On April 8, 1983, the Pope received the complete Trilateral Commission in an open audience. This secret organization was founded in June 1973 by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski and was set to work because apparently the established organizations like the UN were working much too slowly to bring about the one world government. This elitist organization aims at uniting the top people of the industry and commerce giants of the trilateral nations, the US, Japan and Western Europe, in one pool and to force the New World Order to come about. To the elite coming from different branches of Freemasonry, it offers worldwide meeting facilities for secret collaboration, and it wants to give a broader political basis to the influence of the Bilderbergers. Most European member had long-term contracts with the Rockefellers. It has about 200, in contrast with the Bilderbergers' permanent members. And you might imagine that Pope John Paul II did not meet with them to drink coffee. Chapter 46: The International Monetary Fund, IMF. New financial institutions like the IMF, the World Bank and the Bank of International Settlement were set up to spread the predominance of industry and commerce over the whole planet. The immense yearly membership fees payable by the nations amount to billions. If a nation cannot pay up, the workers and the poor among its people will feel the crunch. At the moment and on behalf of the international bankers, the IMF searches for ways to control the entire world economy. Harold Lever of the Committee of 300 proposed what came to be called the Ditchley Plan. According to this plan, the financial and monetary politics of the US would be usurped and put under the control of the IMF. This plan would allow the IMF to unite the central banks of different nations in the World Bank. In 1980, to the leading banks of Wall Street and the US government together agreed to set oppressive repayment conditions for each indebted nation, which then was arranged by Kissinger Associates Incorporated, on the board of which are the oil magnate and chairman of the Aspen Institute Robert O. Anderson, Thatcher's former Foreign Secretary Lord Carrington, and the director of the Bank of England and the S.G. Warburg Bank, Lord Rolle of Ibston. The IMF, the Federal Reserve Bank and the Bank of England are planned as a kind of world police to recover debts. The idea to put the IMF and its oppressive conditions at the center of all negotiations of debts stemmed from America. The conditions of the IMF are laid before the different nations as a kind of lure. One, knowledge about a country and its difficulties has been gathered, that country is then told what definitely has to be changed. Then the debtor country is told if it ever wants to get any credit with a foreign bank, it will have to limit its imports to the absolute necessities, lower state expenditure, and above all stop subsidizing staple food and other support programs for the socially weak. The most important demand was to devaluate the currency. Apparently this would make exports cheaper and hence more attractive on the world market. In fact, though, imports got more expensive and thus debts were increased. This was the first step. The second step was the 127 countries agreement to an extensive redistribution of debt. Thus the creditor banks could largely secure far-reaching future rights over the debtor country. At the same time, outstanding interest payments and repayments were added. The IMF became the international economic police on behalf of the large private banks. One country after another had to negotiate repayment conditions with the IMF and the banks of the Ditchley Group, largely secure far-reaching future rights over the debtor country. At the same time, outstanding interest payments and repayments were added. The IMF became the international economic police on behalf of the large private banks. One country after another had to negotiate repayment conditions with the IMF and the banks of the Ditchley Group. According to figures supplied by the World Bank, between 1980 and 1986, $326 billion from 109 debtor nations were paid as interest to the private creditor banks. During the same time span, $332 billion had been repaid. So debt payments of $658 billion had been made, where the original debi had been $430 billion. Despite that, these 109 nations still owed $882 billion. And that was two decades ago. The interaction of excessive interest charges and fluctuating exchange rates had developed for the private bankers a wonderful and inescapable maelstrom of indebtedness. Surely, you don't think that possibly the heads of states of the various nations or the central banks might be somehow paid off? It is a nasty world you have allowed, pilgrims. Those black hats also stole your gold and ran, leaving you with nothing but foreclosures and worthless paper, which you also pay for the privilege of using to further enslave yourselves. Chapter 47: Information Control. The Bavarian Illuminati started already at the time of the French Revolution to disseminate their propaganda in reading societies in order to shape public opinion to their objectives. Later, during the 19th century, When Rothschild had already taken over the Bank of England, they started using the Jewish Reuters news agency to that aim. News agencies like the Wolf in Berlin and the French Havas had the same goal, to build an international news monopoly. The CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, and the RIA, Royal Institute for International Affairs, both were founded by the Round Table to widen its sphere of influence. The RIA had been a brainchild of Cecil Rhodes, British South African statesman and a diamond millionaire, who wanted to extend British sovereignty all over the globe, but especially to the US. A possibility to control the masses is the social conditioning of the RIA mentioned previously. They trained the military technician John Rawlings Rees, who later opened the Tavistock Institute for Human Studies in Sussex, England. The Tavistock Institute is the centre of England's psychological warfare. Tavistock methods have been used, as mentioned, in England and in America. Besides the press, radio and movies have been used for mass manipulations that, as they have been utilized for decades already, can now be called brainwashing. The CFR shares responsibility for the founding of the UN, which serves the former as a tool for reaching the New World Order, the One World Government. According to documentation held by Spotlight and other sources I have mentioned in the course of this book, today the CFR, together with the Trilateral Commission, controls the US government 100%. The leading positions at all news agencies and most news media are occupied by CFR members. These are Reuters, Associated Press, United Press, Wall Street Journal, Boston Globe, New York Times, Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, ABC, NBC, CBS and RCA. Most newspapers everywhere use these as their sources. The German equivalent of the 128 CFR are the Bilderbergers and the GAP, Deutsche Gesellschaft für Auswärtige Politik, German Society for Foreign Policy. Through them, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, the Bild Zeitung and Dist are also part of the system, certainly others, too. The CFR, who is linked with the RIA and the Committee of 300, has its members also in leading positions of the largest energy combines, in the military and the government of the US. Thanks to the influence of the Round Table, the Committee of 300, the Bilderbergers, the RIA and the Club of Rome, the same thing hold true for Europe. The Illuminati Order Skull and Bones forms the inner circle of the CFR and thus brings more media online. Time Life, National Review, Minneapolis Star, Atlantic Monthly, Fortune, etc. In 1880, the Skull and Bones had already gained considerable influence on the educational and schooling system. Timothy Dwight was the first president of Yale University. Both the Cornell and Johns Hopkins universities were also headed by Skull and Bones members. So was McGeorge Bundy, who as security advisor of Kennedy and Johnson helped to run the Vietnam War and was dean of Harvard University. Every historical information that goes against the guidelines of the American History Society and thus against the Skull and Bones is not admitted for teaching. The same, of course, also happens in Germany and in every other country of the world. In Russia and the GDR, the teaching followed communist, that is illumined, lines in Arab and Jewish countries according to their respective interests. The main thing was not to educate people to themselves, to independent thinking, judging and acting. In 1946, the Rockefeller Foundation had spent $139,000 to present an official version of the Second World War that covered up the building of the Nazi regime by the Kaiser Jewish U.S. bankers. One of the main sponsors of the funds was Rockefeller's own Standard Oil Corporation. The Ford Foundation originally was set as with funds from the Ford Motor Company, but eventually it, too, was infiltrated by Skull and Bones members who used the foundation's funds for the stupefaction of both school system and the public. The present school systems of the Western nations are controlled by the Illuminati and their branches. Most organizations publishing schoolbooks are indirectly financed by the Illuminati. McGeorge Bundy, National Security Advisor during the Vietnam War, became president of the Ford Foundation in 1966 and chose Skull and Bones member Harold Hauter for vice president. The latter was responsible for the research and education sections. The abnormal expenditures forced the Ford family to resign. The psychological warfare techniques that were instigated in Wellington House and perfected at the Tavistock Institute for Human Studies are described by Edward Bernay as follows: German Society for Foreign Policy. Through them, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, the Bild Zeitung, and Diest are also part of the system, certainly others, too. The CFR, who is linked with the RIA and the Committee of 300, has its members also in leading positions of the largest energy combines, in the military and the government of the US, thanks to the influence of the Round Table, the Committee of 300, the Bilderbergers, the RIA and the Club of Rome. The same thing hold true for Europe. The Illuminati Order Skull and Bones forms the inner circle of the CFR and thus brings more media online: Time Life, National Review, Minneapolis Star, Atlantic Monthly, Fortune, etc. In 1880, the Skull and Bones had already gained considerable influence on the educational and schooling system. Timothy Dwight was the first president of Yale University. Both the Cornell and Johns Hopkins universities were also headed by Skull and Bones members. So was McGeorge Bundy, who as security advisor of Kennedy and Johnson helped to run the Vietnam War and was dean of Harvard University. Every historical information that goes against the guidelines of the American History Society and thus against the Skull and Bones is not admitted for teaching. The same, of course, also happens in Germany and in every other country of the world. In Russia and the GDR, the teaching followed communist, that is illumined, lines in Arab and Jewish countries according to their respective interests. The main thing was not to educate people to themselves, to independent thinking, judging and acting. In 1946, the Rockefeller Foundation had spent $139,000 to present an official version of the Second World War that covered up the building of the Nazi regime by the Kaiser Jewish U.S. bankers. One of the main sponsors of the funds was Rockefeller's own Standard Oil Corporation. The Ford Foundation originally was set as with funds from the Ford Motor Company, but eventually it, too, was infiltrated by Skull and Bones members who used the foundation's funds for the stupefaction of both school system and the public. The present school systems of the Western nations are controlled by the Illuminati and their branches. Most organizations publishing schoolbooks are indirectly financed by the Illuminati. McGeorge Bundy, National Security Advisor during the Vietnam War, became president of the Ford Foundation in 1966 and chose Skull and Bones member Harold Hauter for vice president. The latter was responsible for the research and education sections. The abnormal expenditures forced the Ford family to resign. The psychological warfare techniques that were instigated in Wellington House and perfected at the Tavistock Institute for Human Studies are described by Edward Bernay as follows: the population growth was paralleled by the Illuminati's efforts in the area of control of mass consciousness. Thanks to the news agencies, the press, newspapers, telephone, radio and aircraft that are all controlled by the Illuminati, ideas and opinions can quickly be spread over the whole country. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the behavior and opinion of the masses is one of the most important elements of the democratic society. Those who use these mechanisms are the powers actually ruling the world. There can be no doubt about the importance of the role the media plays today. Television, for instance, shows clearly how negative messages like the new horror and violent movies influence the behavior of the viewers. Predominantly, though, television is used to influence opinions about how to think, to act and to look. Also is what to have to be in, and which political orientation to follow. Hussein is bad, Bush, Clinton and Kohl are good. Astrology, the laying on of hands, UFOs and bending spoons are rubbish, it seems. But sex movies, football on Saturday night and boozing over the weekend are okay. Most dare not say that quite the opposite is true, because others who are brainwashed might laugh at them. Please excuse my harsh words, but the word brainwashed cannot be. 129. Softened here because after decades of manipulation of the masses, my research had uncovered frightening instances. It cannot be called otherwise. The trouble is that today one is ridiculed or looked at askance if one has a personal opinion that is perhaps contrary to the mass consciousness, when actually one should be commended for it. The seeds bear fruit. The best example, though, is the music and recording industry. For decades, the listeners have been influenced by backward masking, high-frequency recording, and magic rituals. In high-frequency recording, the message is added at frequencies that the ear can no longer hear but that are still subliminally understood by the subconscious. In backward masking, the messages are recorded backwards and can again be integrated by the subconscious. If the tapes are played backwards, the messages become audible. Some examples: Kiss, Kings in Satan's Service song, God of Thunder message, The Devil Himself is Your God. Madonna song, Like a Virgin message, I Walk in Sin. Queen song, Crazy Little Thing Called Love message, To Hell with the Bible. All I Want is Magic. Police song, Every Little Thing She Does is Magic. Message, The Evil Have Power. Rolling Stone song, Tops message, I Love You, Says the Devil. Prince song, Purple Rain message, Heaven is About to Split Open. Cyndi Lauper song, She Bop message, You Are Helpless Against Evil, Against the Backward Playing, Ha Ha Ha. The Beatles song, Revolution No. 9 message, Start Smoking Marijuana, and Turn Me On Dead Man. Dead Man equals Jesus. Although not strictly belonging to the subject matter, it is interesting to note what in 1962 John Lennon said to Tony Sheridan at the Hamburg Star Club, I know that the Beatles will have success as no other band. I know it because for that success I have sold my soul to Satan. Few knew about that, true? Another interesting example from the recording industry. 130. John Todd, who claims to be a former initiate of the highest occult power circles of the Illuminati, Council of 13, calls this a satanic organization that wants to institute a world government by any means. Youth above all are the aim of the Illuminati, because, as already Hitler knew, who owns youth owns the future. John Todd was the head of the largest amalgamation of recording companies in the whole U.S., Zodiaco Productions. He says that the original matrices of every recording, classical, country, rock, standards, meditation music, disco, folklore, anything, not just rock and heavy metal, was subjected to a black magic ritual conducted by 13 people and beset by demons. These people don't do this for financial gain but to control the spirit of the people. Many will call this superstition or devil's work, but here I speak of the largest recording company of the US, with the richest people on this planet backing it. Whatever these people do, call it what you will, it brought them riches and power and has plunged the people and nations of this planet into the state they find themselves today, and thus has a strong influence upon every listener, you included. From the Zodiaco later emerged a second company in California called Maranta. This project was aimed at catching also the young Christians and people of other faiths. So band names with positive allusions were chosen, and positive lyrics, but the matrices were nevertheless charged with satanic and destructive messages. Their first project was Jesus Christ Superstar. As you can see, names don't mean a thing, and the subject of music cannot be treated superficially. It does not matter whether the messages are satanic or urging to buy, the fact is that these people, and there are lots of them, act against the free will of others. But there are ways and means to protect oneself and to learn how to handle this problem. For people still have the freedom to choose the music to which they are listening. Illuminati, Council of 13, calls this a satanic organization that wants to institute a world government by any means. Youth above all are the aim of the Illuminati, because, as already Hitler knew, who owns youth owns the future. John Todd was the head of the largest amalgamation of recording companies in the whole U.S., Zodiaco Productions. He says that the original matrices of every recording, classical, country, rock, standards, meditation music, disco, folklore.anything, not just rock and heavy metal, was subjected to a black magic ritual conducted by 13 people and beset by demons. These people don't do this for financial gain but to control the spirit of the people. Many will call this superstition or devil's work, but here I speak of the largest recording company of the US, with the richest people on this planet backing it. Whatever these people do, call it what you will, it brought them riches and power and has plunged the people and nations of this planet into the state they find themselves today and thus has a strong influence upon every listener, you included. From the Zodiaco later emerged a second company in California called Maranta. This project was aimed at catching also the young Christians and people of other faiths. So band names with positive allusions were chosen, and positive lyrics, but the matrices were nevertheless charged with satanic and destructive messages. Their first project was Jesus Christ Superstar. As you can see, names don't mean a thing, and the subject of music cannot be treated superficially. It does not matter whether the messages are satanic or urging to buy, the fact is that these people, and there are lots of them, act against the free will of others. But there are ways and means to protect oneself and to learn how to handle this problem. For people still have the freedom to choose the music to which they are listening. The mass media are the premier tool for keeping the public ignorant. That is the reason why practically nobody knows the true stories behind politics, economy and religion. The same goes for the history of man, his true origins, the structure of the earth, especially the inside, the actual state of the moon and Mars, the real space program, free energy, natural healing, spiritual healing, the true life of Jesus, the body of light of man, his soul and aura, his geometric magnetic field, the Merkaba, and extraterrestrials with their technology. Not even 1/1000 of all Germans ever hear about the construction of flying machines in their own country. Think about this, seriously. Here I would like to quote a passage from Hesseman's UFO, The Contacts, where he explains why the subject of UFOs is still treated by the media as nonsense. The number of sightings was steadily rising, and it looked as if the invasions was never going to end. In June 1952 alone 250 sightings had been reported to the Air Force. The UFO investigation project of the Air Force, Blue Book, had now 2,000 cases documented, of which 25% are classed unknown. Thus the phenomenon has reached a dimension that became interesting for other agencies, too. By September the almighty and infamous CIA joined the official investigation, to check whether the problem of flying saucers was endangering national security and whether upon this question appropriate research and investigations were necessary. A number of documents from that time have been released in 1977 by President Jimmy Carter, see, UFOs, the proofs. On September 11, 1952, Marshall Chadwell, vice director of the scientific department of the CIA, told the director that a worldwide reporting system had been ordered to intercept unknown flying objects. Flying saucers bear two kinds of danger. The first is the psychological effect upon the masses and the second the vulnerability of the U.S. airspace. For practical reasons we, 131, recommend to define a policy about what the populace may be told about these phenomena. In the words of Major Kehoe, this meant a cunning and ruthless censorship to stamp out public belief in UFOs. To this end the CIA arranged a meeting of Air Force personnel and scientists at the Pentagon to secretly analyze the material proving the UFOs. This meeting took place on January 14-18, 1953, headed by Dr. H. B. Robertson from the University of California, after whom it has been named the Robertson Panel. The time was well chosen. In the previous November a new Republican president had been elected, General Dwight D. Eisenhower. At the end of January, Eisenhower was going to be sworn in. Until then, they had to recommend to the president a new successful policy.